Blog Talk Radio.
Self-help group called Nexium and its charismatic leader, Keith Raniere.
I'm an interesting person, I'm a controversial person, but most importantly, I'm an unconventional person.
According to promotional materials, even as a child, Raniere was destined for greatness, speaking in full sentences at age one, reading at age two, judo champ, and concert level pianist at 13.
Well, hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcasts. I'm talking about Nexium today with True Crimes expert Roberta Glass. Hi, Roberta. How are you?
Great.
Thanks
and
for coming
we're
on.
We're celebrating Vanguard Week, right?
Yes, yes. Happy Vanguard Week. Happy V Week. I'm so excited. I'm so happy.
Isn't it great? I think it's a little less happy for the Vanguard in the Metropolitan Correctional Center.
He's, well, you know, I was going to tell all the
birthday
Nexians.
Week.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. 58 years old now. 58. The Vanguard.
Wow. He does look good for his age, you know. I mean, he tastes well for a Vanguard, for a guy who's led a criminal enterprise.
Well, he's never had to hold a job. He's never had to make an income. He's been catered to by a multitude of women. I mean, if you have a lifestyle like that.
Yeah, he sucks the soul out of women. His whole life. So, yeah. That'll do it. That will age you, kind of like the royal family, not having a very stressful life. I guess you don't age so much.
Yep. So, yes, I was going to tell all the Nexians out there, I'm sure they're bummed out that they don't have a place to go, so they can come here to True Crimes Podcast, and we'll celebrate V-Week with them.
Yes, it's a wonderful half hour every day to talk about Vanguard and the wonderful things he's done.
Yes, yes.
Horrible things.
Yes.
The Vanguard.
Yes. We can thank Vanguard for this. I had to take that clip. So speaking of Mr. Do you like that? I get that from the I can't believe they said that every time they had a class. They would end each class like this.
Vanguard.
So speaking of Vanguard, let's talk about him for a minute. I just want to clarify for people just so they understand the background in the clip that I played in the beginning about him having a 230 IQ and judo champion and, you know, speaking at full sentences at age one. What did you uncover about his, what was really going on there, how he created this fake resume that he did?
Well, a lot of it, he just lied about it, but the IQ, his IQ, is it 220 or 230 or 240? Something incredibly high. Is it 220 or 230, did he say? I can't remember exactly.
I think it was 230. I think it was 230, I believe. Yeah.
IQ, he got from doing a take-home test. So he could very easily, untimed take-home test, where, you could look up all the answers. And it's an organization who did it doesn't exist anymore. And he says he was in the Guinness Book of World Records, but he wasn't never in the American Guinness Book of World Records. He only appeared in the 1989 Australian edition of the Guinness Book of World Records. And that was the sole time that IQ score ever came up, his highest IQ. So it was an IQ test called the MEGA test from the MEGA Society. So it's not like an IQ test that you'd get, today. So that is the story of his IQ test. But it's been it's been a big draw to the people who have you know, to people who are interested in learning something, you know, to the people who take the ESP courses, the executive success training courses, that, you know, oh, I'm going to learn something from the guy with the highest IQ in the world. And then he said, like, he has, like, the best problem solving. I think he worked out the ratio of his great problem solving. But there is that really interesting clip, which is people always talk about it because he says, I've had people killed in it. But in that clip, there's a woman who seems to be losing faith in Vanguard, and she says, you've never managed anything well. The one thing you did was consumers byline, and that failed. And he's like, you don't know, but she's absolutely right. He was a total failure before he started the cult.
With Nancy Salzman.
Yes.
An
of course,
LP
because
expert.
He doesn't have an original idea. He has to use. It's based on other people's ideas, and also, of course, use Nancy Salzman, who is a neurolinguistic programming expert, and use, you know, her talents. So everything he's done has been based on the ideas and talents of mostly women.
Interesting. Now, did you also find out something about his alleged judo champion status that he claimed to have as well?
I don't know about that. Do you?
I thought I heard something like that wasn't. I heard it wasn't true, but I forget how they knew. It was like a friend of his that knew him growing up said he wasn't. Do you remember something about that? I don't know. I thought it was something like somebody
who
knew him
in school.
I didn't
read about that, but I read that he made up a lot of things and that he always had that the people who grew up with him said he always had this kind of bragging, obnoxious personality, even as a young person. So he didn't change much.
No. No. No, he hasn't. No, no, no. So what else? Well, I have more clips here.
Well,
I'd
like to talk
more.
About
okay.
something. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'd like to talk about the Vice article that came out, which was a journalist living on the Nexium diet of 800 calories and what happened to her.
Oh, yes.
And
that.
It just recently came out in Vice, and she lived on the Nexium diet for, I think, 4 or 5 days where she ate 800 calories, and she wrote about what happened to her. And I seem to be one of the few people who found that completely insulting, that she would find out what it was like to be a Nexium devotee. I mean, like, it's the same thing. It's as if pleasing your editor by starving yourself is the same thing as pleasing a dangerous cult leader, you know, and starving yourself indefinitely. But it's just like can't be compared.
And you know she was like, yes, I can lose some weight and I'm going to get paid for writing about it. You know, it's like a win-win assignment, right?
Good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah, she talked about how she put on her jeans and, you know, that were her, you know, her thin jeans, and they felt so good and just and of course she got cranky and her brain wasn't as quick when she didn't eat as much. Like, big surprise. I think we all could have figured that was going to happen. It just was like a really gimmicky way of talking about Nexium and bring, you know, getting reads for and making light of this is really serious abuse that these women suffered, and it just feels like you're making light of it and exploiting it when you write something like that. But I may be just getting old and cranky.
No,
I don't know.
She wrote one thing. I'll give her credit. One thing she said that I thought was interesting was that she said at first she had a clear mind, and the first day she was on the diet, she realized she wasn't thinking straight. But then she said after the second day, she didn't even remember what it was like to think with a clear head. So it was like it was normal to her, you know. So I thought that was interesting, like how you can go into this fugue state and, like, you forget how you used to think and you think it's normal. But yeah, you know what? The abuses that these women would take if they exceeded their diet or if they gained weight, I haven't heard much about that, but I have heard that in the cult, they weigh you, I guess, every week. They didn't, I don't know. But they, and if you gain a pound
also,
or something, you get abused.
Right. And also, oh gosh, now I'm forgetting her name. She's the one who's spoken out about the branding.
Edmondson?
I can see her face in my head, and I can't remember her name. Oh.
Yeah, the Canadian actress.
Yeah, Canadian actress, yeah.
Her last name's Edmondson, yeah.
Edmondson, did you say Edmondson, and I just heard something different? Did you say her name, Sarah Edmondson?
Edmondson,
yeah, okay,
yeah.
Sorry, you were correct. I don't know, somehow I heard you saying something else, but that's right. And she said that before you got into DOS, you had to do this kind of very punishing program where you took various punishments for your character defects. So some of them were like eating 300 calories, and she described one woman eating tomato stew and zucchini entirely because she had, you know, to make up for something, some flaw in her character. So there was that kind of, I think she described it like 4 or 5 days, maybe 6 days before you get into DOS of this program. So it was specifically for women. This kind of really, also he made them run 30 miles a week, 800 calories. And I kept thinking about, like, he made them also not shave any parts, any hair, not cut their hair, not shave their, you know, not shave their pubic hair, not shave their legs. And all of that, I wonder if it's just to make you, like, that's so much a part of your self-esteem as a woman, feeling, like, good about yourself. It's just to sort of put you in that state of discomfort and unease. I wonder if that was what that was about.
Did he tell them
or
they couldn't wear makeup?
Or if he just had a hair fetish.
Do you know about makeup? Did he say you can't wear makeup or something like that, too, or no? Was it just the hair he was
obsessed with? I don't know. The hair thing was big. The skinniness was big. The big issue is going to be whether this was coercion or not, or whether all these women decided to do this it was all their own idea and not Keith's idea, and that will be the big thing to prove.
Interesting. All right, I've got another clip on Nexium. Let me see. You want me to play it here? Let's see. Let me see this one.
With that, I'm going to pass the microphone over to Mr. Ranieri.
So incredible, it seems, that an ordinary name just won't do. Participants say they're taught to call Ranieri Vanguard.
Vanguard, yes. Vanguard is the name that we refer to Keith as because he's a leader of a philosophical movement.
At the heart of Nexium training is something called intensives, which former members say are like group therapy, running as long as 14 hours a day and up to 16 days. Edmondson says she attended her first one in 2005. She says it cost over $2,000.
Yes, I just want to bring up their intensives that they put people through, too. And Catherine Oxenberg writes about it, that they put them through like 16 hours from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. or something, and they only got a lunch break, but they didn't get a dinner break. So she always said she was famished by the end of the day. And
right, that's a tool of cults to overwork you. So you're fully immersed in the Nexium world. You don't have any chance to sort of take a break and look at it from afar. And also, your critical thinking is weakened with working that hard, and also, you know, lack of sleep, and also the togetherness of it. So it achieves like three things.
Yeah, yeah, because as Catherine Oxenberg wrote, and I'll just read what she said each day we began at 8 in the morning, broke for lunch, and finished at night, but we didn't get a break for dinner. So, like you said, that they're put through that, and I'll say something else about that, but that and the, you know, I know they talked about they would control the temperature in the room, make it hot, and then make it cold, and do different things to make people uncomfortable. And she brought up Catherine Oxenberg in her book that's excellent. Everybody recommends getting it or taking it out of the library, called Captive, A Mother's Crusade to Save Her Daughter. It's interesting that it came out this month, Keith's birthday. But,
in celebration of Vanguard Week, the most critical book ever written on him.
they're not going to get, because you know what, she has a unique perspective. It's not just of a mother whose daughter was in there, but she took the classes because she enrolled in the beginning in 2011 with India. They took it together, so she went through all the modules, she went through everything, she knows exactly step by step how it works. And
her book is really good. Alison Mack's parents, they did those classes too.
Wow.
And it's interesting the way it's passed on. And I think it looks like Alison Mack is not going to take a plea deal. It looks like she is going to go right to trial and hope for the best. And that is funny.
Wow.
I mean, I'm so worried that they're just, it just looks like they're cooking up so much false testimony and finding ways to talk to each other and working out a defense that everybody's comfortable with. Kathy Russell, they say the bookkeeper, she's ready to take the fall for her beloved Ranieri and say it was all my fault and all my idea. And they have women set up saying that the branding was their idea. They already have Alison Mack's quote to the New York Times saying that the branding was her idea. It was like a tattoo. And they're meeting with Keith Ranieri a lot in prison, like 4 hours, many times a week, 4 hours at a time. So they're really, like, this defense is, they're working on their defense. And the fact that she has not, she said she was interested in a plea deal, but it looks like she's going to go the other way. Maybe she'll, she's so wishy-washy, it's hard to tell. I mean, maybe she'll switch again, but I don't think it's a good sign that she asked to go to church. She asked that her bail conditions be broadened so she could go to church and go to work and volunteer in her community. I don't think that's the goal. I think the goal is to try to have more opportunities to meet third parties to work out their defense, and that's what that's about. But I could be wrong. Maybe she's just bored in her house, but we'll see.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
hard to tell what's going on, but from the issues that were raised in the last hearing I went to, which was that third parties were being used to have the defendants talk, used as a conduit to talk to each other, and that they were possibly being used to intimidate witnesses, I'm worried. I'm really worried that this is going to be the only thing that I think is really helpful to the prosecution is that all this is so distasteful. The branding, the emails that Keith Ranieri wrote where he talks about asking a woman to get him a fuck toy, and, you know, all that stuff will not look make him look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it's enough. I don't know how much, because it's not like they can actually prove that they're brainwashed in court, right? I mean, unless... And they have
that's
some expert
really
who can.
Point.
They have that court's going to take their word for it, you know, and that doesn't sit well because they are brainwashed.
Right. And we don't have a good understanding of how cults work and how brainwashing works. And you brought up a great example of, you know, starving. This isn't unique to NXIVM, it's all the cults do it. You know, starving, overworking, depriving sleep. Separating people from their friends and family. It's like just like cult 101. And NXIVM did pretty much all of it. But there's very little understanding.
This is also typical of a cult. Here, I'm going to play one more clip here.
Members like Mark Vicente say anyone unwilling to go along with the rituals would be scorned.
If you question Keith Ranieri, it's the fan. Like you are, you are prideful. How dare you? Don't you realize you owe everything to him?
See, that idea that he's unquestionable.
That's right.
Another...
And if you have a problem, it's your personal defect. There's something wrong with you. Keith Raniere and Nexium are perfect. You are imperfect. And how dare you question him? And that's very common. It's common in Scientology. It's pretty much the trademark of a cult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The leader is perfect.
So speaking of,
but there's.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to bring up one more thing. Nancy, the right hand woman there. She was called Prefect, right? He was Vanguard, and she was called Prefect. I just realized where she got that word from. Do you know? You probably already knew, but
no.
Okay, well, my theory
where
she got it from. Now, because Catherine Oxenberg wrote about it in her book, and she said that Nancy went by the ancient Roman title of Prefect. So apparently, in ancient Roman times, they would call a leader a prefect, a magistrate. But then I looked it up on Google. I'm like, that doesn't sound right, or I wasn't so sure. And sure enough, Harry Potter, a prefect of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, a student who has been given extra responsibilities by the head of the house, is called a prefect. So I knew they got Harry Potter, freaking Harry Potter.
So lame. And Vanguard is from his favorite video game. So.
Uh-huh. Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, gosh. Isn't that crazy?
Ay-ay-ay.
It's like you think nobody would follow Scientology because it's started by a science fiction writer, or nobody would follow a business success seminar based on a guy who got shut down by the government. But, you know, they do. They do. With
uh-huh.
somebody named Vanguard. You know, you think
prefect.
Nobody can follow a vanguard, and a prefect, but they do.
What were the other titles? Were there any other titles? Was that the only one?
Well, there's obviously Pimp Mac, which is what Alice and Mac called herself and what they called her. But I think there is one other one that we're just. Is it connected to one of the Bronfmans? To Claire Bronfman? Did she have one?
I don't know. She had to look out the research, though. I don't know if they had any other nicknames. I think there's another one. There's one more nickname somebody had. I'll have to look it up. I'll see it for next time.
We'll save it for our whole week of Vanguardness.
Yes, yes. Future shows. Future.
And also, that's so funny. Dines is just like a made-up name. We just like
the
sound.
Where did they get that
Jeunesse,
from? Do you know?
That's the woman's group. They made it up. They liked the name of it, Jeunesse.
Well, how did they
it
find it?
It sounds like a
douche
to me. But what?
Yeah, I was wondering where they got that one. Where they got that name from? Let me see. Because you never know. They get the weirdest things.
Well, they told the New York Times that they liked the sound of it and they made it up. But you know, they lie so much. You know, it's hard to know, to take anybody's word for how anything started, you know, that hasn't left, that's in it. It's hard to take what they say seriously.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
it's all strategized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was too far a concept for Jessica Gordiatis, Vanessa Gordiatis, you know. She missed that. She thought they were really nice. They made her eggs, and she thought these people were incredible, and it wasn't a cult. It was a self-empowerment movement.
Ugh.
What a day. And she took a walk. Also, you know, it's interesting to note that Keith Raniere didn't have to follow any of these rules. He slept like in the day. He, you know, ate as much as he wanted. None of these rules applied to him.
Right, right.
Everybody else needed this character building, but not he didn't need it because, of course, he's perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And
which
is
funny because now
he
can't live in his cell. He's complaining it's too cold and too damp, which is nothing compared to what he put his women through. Cold and damp is the least of it.
Yeah, yeah. He put women in cages. I mean, I got to find more about that, too. But the abuses he did, they're not coming out enough, I don't think. People aren't aware of, you know, him putting women in cages and all the punishments that he did to women and assaulting them and everything. So it's all in the indictment, though. So, but
yeah, and I thought it was really interesting, that interview with Megyn Kelly, that Mark Agnifilo was really exploiting some men's anger with women who want equal opportunities, equal pay, equal treatment.
Oh, yeah,
and
he likened them to a football team. Likening a
right,
coach
you say,
to a football
well,
team. Like,
right. Men get brands and it's considered cool. Men get tattoos and it's considered cool. But when women do it, it's considered abuse. And basically what he's trying to exploit is saying, you want to be treated equally, but when it comes to this, you want now you want special treatment when it suits you.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And he's exploiting men's anger towards women. That's what he's exploiting. He's hoping he can use that for all it's worth.
Well, I guess this is what really is turning into, because you've got a man. I mean, Keith Raniere. That's another thing, is that he was preaching that women are inferior and women are subservient to men and bada bada bada. And so now he's the ultimate chauvinist pig. I'm sure men are some men are going to be cheerleading him, think he's so great for getting away with this, what he's done. And I think his lawyers are probably one of them, obviously. And they're going to try to twist this like that, to use that type of argument in a cult like this, in a brainwashing situation.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell. I don't think Mark Agnifilo has any – I think he's completely consumed with winning. And he will look at any angle to win. You know, I don't think it – I'm not even sure he believes anything that he says. But I really believe he saw that Joe Rogan podcast right when this news story broke about Allison Mack, where Joe Rogan's saying, some women like being tied up. Some women like, S&M. What's to make this a cult now? And the guy that Joe Rogan was talking to went, 100%, 100%. And you can see in that interview, Mark Agnifilo is now to Megyn Kelly, 100%. Every answer, he's like, 100%, 100%. I was like, does that just stick in your brain and you're just repeating it back? Because it's the same idea, like, these crazy women, now they want to sue and call it abuse. You know, we've all met these sexually crazy women. And I think, too,
it's like
a male fantasy that you're down to, down to fuck if you're into this stuff. And secondly, I think it's just really anger, like, okay, you should have been treated like that because, you wanted it.
Yeah, you wanted to sign over all your assets.
Women are explaining type thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and signing over all your assets and your children and any future children and your car and your house and giving all your money. Of course, you asked for it, right? You deserve it. That's what the guys in the football team do, right?
Oh, yeah. They
sign over their firstborn children to the coach.
I know. I think...
Let's just get us in there with him. Straighten him out.
I mean, Megyn Kelly. And why do you think Megyn Kelly made a big point of saying Keith Raniere loved it?
Because
they loved it. I was like, all the questions to ask, is that really the sticking point of his feelings about what they did? Or, I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
What a sadist he is? And a psychopath? I mean, he loved it because he's a sick sadist. Yeah, because he's a psychopath. I mean, that's why I believe that.
Yeah.
Now, the lawyer said that one of the brandings was videotaped. They were all videotaped. So, and Raniere sat back watching them all. He enjoyed the pain and watching them in agony. I think that. So there's a lot more than just
those,
one.
Do you think those fright experiments are taped too? What I'm referring to?
Yeah, the doctor did they absolutely, and they said the cartels do the same thing with those tests. And yeah, that's what they do. They videotape you to watch your reaction because they want to see how you react. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if there was any kind of connection with where those studies were going. if, you know, this is a little bit far out, and it's just a question in the conspiracy world, but, you know, those fright studies where they took women and they showed them, you know, tapes of people getting their heads smashed in and, you know, traumatizing video and, you know, looking, putting electrodes on their brain and looking at how they reacted and their brain reacted, whether those studies that were, that study was done for the NXIVM part, it's called like the Ethical Something Society, Science Society or something, that Claire Brownson set up. So she set up a special part of NXIVM that those studies were done with. If those studies went anywhere else, like maybe...
Well, I think, well, that got me into thinking MK Ultra. That's what they talk about, MK Ultra brain. The CIA started, that's what they do. They traumatize you. That's one of the things they do.
It sounded exactly like MK Ultra, and since the government didn't want to get caught doing that study, were the results of that study going to some part of the CIA?
I
mean, that's what I wondered, you know?
Well, the government's suing them, so I don't know.
The cult went on for 20 years, and every time people went for help, you know, like Roger Kirsup, helping them, he went against the enemies of NXIVM, and he pursued them and tried to sue the enemies.
So when people talk about the Clintons
and Stormy Daniels and bring up all these imaginary connections that have, you know, if they haven't been proven yet, I'll say that. I think they're imaginary. They haven't been proven yet, but I think, well, why don't you research some of the very the stuff we have evidence for of the unfamous people that were connected to NXIVM that show some sort of conspiracy or some sort of corruption in the government. But because there's no one famous, nobody wants to look into it. It's not sexy research.
Well, we can do that. We can look into that. But you know what? Not tonight, because we've run out of time, though, unfortunately.
Oh. Okay.
So tomorrow we will continue on. I want to talk more about this cult and the disintegrations and other interesting aspects of it. So thank you, Roberta, for being on for day one of V Week 2018, and I'll see you tomorrow for V.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Liz.
Second day. All right. Thanks for being on. Take care. Good night.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.